happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. In just about 2 weeks, President Trump says new tariffs will go into effect against two of America's largest trade partners, Mexico and the European Union. The BBC's David Harper with reaction from London.
The president of the European Commission has warned that consumers and businesses on both sides of the Atlantic will be hurt by new tariffs on EU exports announced by President Trump. Europe, along with Mexico, are the latest targets of Mr. Trump, who in 1 week has announced higher duties on 25 countries he believes are exploiting the United States. Both the EU and Mexico said they would continue trade talks up until the August the 1st deadline.
More than 170 people remain missing after more than a week in those Texas floods. And more rain is on the way this weekend. CBS News meteorologist Andrew Kozak.
Just like last weekend, we are watching flooding this weekend. And unfortunately, it's going to be for some of the same areas across Texas Hill Country, with flood watches in effect from the Red River all the way down to the Mexican border. We started with showers and storms across a very stalled front, and that now is meeting up with moisture from the Gulf. It's a recipe for once again some severe flooding.
Sunday marks 1 year since someone tried to assassinate then-candidate Donald Trump at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more on the dead shooter, Thomas Crooks.
He actually went dark in the final months. Our investigation found he used VPN technology to make his internet searches less trackable, then kind of ghosting the rest of the world as he had his online life. It may be a symptom of a problem, but it also makes it difficult to measure what Thomas Crooks was about and what was driving him. He died in the shooting moments after he pulled the trigger, and this FBI investigation that's been going on for a year has yet to show the world what the heck was motivating him.
The Israeli defense minister recently presented plans to move more than 500,000 Palestinians into a so-called humanitarian city to be established on the ruins of Rafah. But, says our Elizabeth Palmer in Tel Aviv,
the Israeli government argues that setting up closed cities would allow them to filter out Hamas fighters from the people moving in. But some lawyers say it would simply be illegal to coerce people into relocating at all.
In honor of the 20th anniversary of the 2005 World Series championship run for the Chicago White Sox, former star Paul Konecny gets a present from one other number 14.
2 decades later, Cardinal Supich honors this historic number 14 connection by presenting Paulie with a special White Sox jersey signed by Pope Leo XIV.
The Chicago-born missionary is a White Sox fan. Wildfire smoke from Canada has made for bad air quality over parts of the upper Midwest. That includes most of Minnesota and parts of Montana, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers win a thriller.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers and Nationals wrap up their series here today. The crew with a thrilling 6-5 win over Washington last night. Milwaukee down 5-3, bottom of the ninth. Andrew Vaughn at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Finnegan deals. Vaughn, line drive.
Caleb Durbin later drove in Andrew Monasterio for the winning run. Manager Pat Murphy on the effort Monasterio has shown.
The great thing about having the right people, this kid every day says, I want to stay in the big leagues.
The Brewers have now won 6 in a row. The Nationals have lost 7 of their last 10.
I'm going to say, you got to keep your head up, you know, got to go back and do it again.
That's the Nationals manager Miguel Cairo with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a little hazy from smoke, and a low in the upper 50s. Filtered sunshine for tomorrow and warmer, a high in the low 80s. Slight rain chance Sunday night. Stays warm through mid next week, highs in the 80s. Currently, it's 66.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings-on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Matinere Todd Alba Tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
On location, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
And your feet start kicking, then you know.
Civic Media Radio Network. It's the Todd Allbaugh Show.
We lost control 30 seconds in.
We are live here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, the 11th of July, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here live in Chippewa Falls. Aaron Zommer is a producer engineer back at the old world headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. And joining me once again for the entire show, my friend, my colleague here at Civic Media, and the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning on many of these stations from 6 until 9, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. Are you ready for day two, Pat?
The hump day camel was not available. I was happy to fill in instead. You did this.
I did it. This. We talked to Rusty Volk, the executive director of the State Fair yesterday, and we said, Rusty, I really want to have a live animal on this show. Can we bring a live animal into this building?
And folks, he did it. I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken, chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table. The most gentle, I don't, what do you have that chicken narked up on? But it is just so still. And
I know, it's a very docile chicken, yes. A docile bird.
We should get introduce our guest.
We'll in just a second. Big show today coming up in just a few minutes in the first hour here. The Washington County executive and a Republican candidate for governor, Josh Shulman, is going to be here on the program, stopping by to say hello. And then at 2:30, BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions talking about their new documentary on Coob, of course, the national championships taking place this weekend in Eau Claire. Hour number two, then 3 o'clock hour, a what's worse, sunburn or frostbite. And then at 3:20, our friend and colleague Mike McKay from WCFW 105.7 FM will be here to discuss what's going on the music side of the Chippewa Valley. And at 3:35, Ken Szymanski, teacher and author of his new book featuring the Wisconsin, Northern Wisconsin State Fair, will be here. So a huge show.
And your mom.
Oh, yeah,
she's
mom is here.
Literally right there.
Yes, mom, Miss Linda, is here once again. Okay. Our Anthony Anderson version of mom.
She's taking care of my bucket of cookies that I brought in for y'all.
Yes, we're going to talk fair food in hour two. Look, Pat brought in these beautiful fair chocolate chip cookies. We're going to talk about food, fair food as well. But first, let's start off right away with one of our exhibitors here and a wonderful person. She was so kind to come on very short notice. My sister Heather and I were walking through the small animal barn, and we saw these great chickens.
Trolling.
And yes, and here we have Kaylee High, a recent graduate of Stanley Boyd High School here in the area. Kaylee, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
It's really, really cool. So introduce your bird here. What is her name, and what is her,
what is this?
No, I mean, I know it's a hen, but I mean, what's the line of bird? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So this
breed.
Sue.
Yeah.
She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
A Dominique, do you call them hens or chickens?
Hens. It's both.
Dominique hen, and her name is Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Pat would say it's a very docile bird.
Yeah, she's kind of been everywhere with me. She was one of my very first chickens I got. And so, yep, aww, 6 years strong. She's still going.
So does your family farm in the area?
Yeah, we have a farm over in Stanley, Wisconsin. Okay.
What, dairy or cattle? Or?
We kind of have a little bit of everything. It used to be a dairy farm. And then about 4 years ago, we switched over to beef. So now my brother shows steers.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Would have been a little messy to have a steer come in. So we decided on that.
We take care of the bull ourselves over here.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
We are just fine. This is the first chicken I've ever... This could be an emotional support animal coming on a plane.
Right. Yeah.
An emotional support chicken. You are so gentle.
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah. This is her all the time.
Wow.
How old were you when you first... Did you do this through 4-H when you first started showing?
Yeah. So I started in 4-H, and then I showed all 6 years throughout 4-H, and then I joined FFA and started my own poultry team. But I started in fifth grade and then got my first chickens in sixth grade. So
that's we were telling the story off the air. My sister and I had a terrible experience. We tried to sneak a little chick into my mom's basement, and it did not turn out well. You need to have proper training. Did your parents kind of show you about small animals growing up, or did you learn that through FFA or 4-H?
It was kind of just a learn-as-you-go type thing. We had never had chickens. My grandma had chickens, so she kind of gave us, like, the starting stuff, and then from there on, it was just me trying to figure out what I was doing.
But you would agree with Todd's mom not trying to raise a chicken
yeah, no,
in the basement.
Do not raise
in a cardboard
in the basement.
About your mom, no. Okay. And when you show chickens at a fair, what are the judges looking for?
Yeah, so they're looking for if they have all their feathers, the brightness of their skin. The younger they are and the better layers they are, the brighter their skin's going to be. They check like the length of like their pelvis and their sternum and all those kind of things. So
there are measurements involved. They have to go through that.
They have to measure them with your fingers and know it from there. Yeah, pretty much.
I had no idea, Pat. I grew up in a rural community in southwest Wisconsin with county fairs. I did not know there was this much detail to judging chickens.
I have to tell you an honest-to-God story. My first time coming to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and we're going through the barns, and they were judging rabbits at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know have you had any in your family on the farm
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Okay. The judge is talking to the whole crowd about the rabbits and saying all the things about what they're judging on, and the judge honestly says, now, if it were up to me, these rabbits would already be like field dressed and prepared.
Oh my gosh.
So you could see the muscular structure and blah blah blah. And Sherry and I are just horrified. Like, this is how they judge animals? Is the judge's name Ed Gein?
Yeah,
what
is this? Terrible.
I've never heard that since, but it was a terrible introduction to animal judging at the
yeah.
fair. I mean, I get that with the cattle, you know, right, when they're right. auctioned, they're mm-hmm. you know, they're gonna be turned into
burger
yeah. or whatever. And I do have to admit that today is National Kebab Day, and my initial thing to bring into you, but I ate it first.
I'm glad you did it. It could have devastated poor Sue.
It was a chicken kebab.
It could have devastated poor Sue.
It was, yes.
We're talking with Kaylee High here from Stanley Boyd High School. She is in the small animal division and showing her hen, Sue, here. Pick up on that. So my sister, Heather, and Pat and his wife went to dinner. We went to dinner last night, and our server was talking about, was her brother? Or somebody in your family was showing a steer,
yes,
and it did better than they thought, and it was like he had raised this animal for a long time, and now
they
like
were bringing in two, and the one that they thought for sure was going to be the champion, like, had a bad experience, we walked funny or whatever that one time, and then the other one turned out to be a reserve champion. So, I mean, you don't know until yeah. you're in the moment being judged.
You can take your best guess, but, yeah, that's about it. You just have to go for it. So,
But talk to us a little bit about this yes, you're raising them, and if they do well, then obviously they're not going to be around any longer. But you become attached to these animals, right?
Yeah, I know. Last year, my brother was glad to see his go. His was very naughty last year. But this year, yeah, he was a little upset about it because he had a very sweet one this year.
And this isn't like Miss America. They don't move up. There's not a competition in West Dallas and then beyond.
Right.
Anything
like
that.
It's a culmination?
I don't know much about it, but I do know that, like, it's almost a requirement for them to go to auction unless they don't make weight, or if they are sick, then you kind of have to take them home and try to sell them there. You want them to go to auction most of the time because you spend a lot of money trying to get them in a feed, and you want to be able to pay it off. So,
well, Sue, it's been fun. I mean,
well, Sue's been here 6 years.
Yep. So chickens and rabbits don't go.
Okay.
It's hoof stock. So.
You hear that, rabbit judge?
Right.
You cool.
And you were talking a little bit before we went on the air. My mom, actually, Miss Linda over there, asked a good question about, because there's all sorts of different naturally colored eggs. How does that happen? Is it certain breeds of hens?
Yeah, so it's actually, you can buy the breed specifically made for the color egg you want. So if you want an olive egger, you're going to get some green eggs. And if you want an Easter egger, you'll get anywhere from pink to blue eggs. So
an
it's
Easter
cool.
egger, that's what we need, Pat.
Easter egger, yes. How often is it that people start their chicks by getting them from like a neighbor or somebody else in the community? Because one of the things we heard about when they were talking about postal service cutbacks and things is that there's also the mailing of like live chicks and things like that.
Yeah, no. So I've always gotten mine from the mail.
Chicks from the mail.
Yep, you go pick them up from the post office once they get here, and you just kind of hope that the post office doesn't lose them. I can't say much. My mom works for the post office, so she'll be very mad at me.
Good for her. We love our postal workers.
Yes. It's pretty often, and then there is groups kind of everywhere that you can buy chickens from then, too.
So. Wow. A couple more minutes left. Talk to us a little bit about, and I know it's fun, it's coming to the fair, that sort of thing. I've known a lot of people in 4-H over the years. Talk to us a little bit about what you've learned in raising hens in terms of just responsibility and how has it prepared you? I know you said you're going to college next year in Iowa. Mm-hmm. How has it prepared you in how you live your life and how you carry yourself?
Yeah, so especially raising chickens, it takes a lot of remembering last time you collected eggs, remembering when you went and fed them. What did you feed them? Are you making sure they get the right nutrients? Are you getting close to fair? Do you need to start feeding them some extra stuff? And so it's kind of just making sure you actually check on your birds. And they are one of the easier animals to show, so I'm a little lucky there. But also kind of going forward, I know like compassion, like every animal has a different type of personality, especially chickens. They're all different, so you kind of have to figure out how to deal with all that.
I'm sorry, did you say what you were going to be studying?
Yeah, I'm going for Spanish. I want to be a medical interpreter. So
how cool is that?
Yeah.
All right. So children in Mexico then say what a chicken says what?
It's P-O-P-O.
P-O-P-O.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
The chickens learn a whole different language down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know my friends in El Salvador, when they say, what does a chicken say? It's kikadikadee.
Yep.
Not cockadoodle-doo.
Yep, I've heard that as well.
Kikadikadee. Not cockadoodle-doo.
Okay.
So it's a Spanish chicken, Pat.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Is this something you do in the future? I mean, would you want to live in a rural setting, maybe on your own little hobby farm versus a city?
Yeah, I want to have chickens for the rest of my life.
You
I can't
do.
Imagine not having chickens. Oh, so
that's super cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just appreciate you coming on so much. I think that too often, you know, Pat and I talk about that young people spend too much time on screens and things like older people spend too much time on screens too. But I'm just always uplifted by young people in 4-H and FFA who are getting out there, and I know, as your generation says, touch grass, literally and figuratively. I just think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. I've met some very cool people through 4-H and FFA, and I'm very honored to be part of it.
But I have to ask, with Minecraft and the movie, and a lot of kids like to play Minecraft. I've got both my two oldest grandsons go crazy for Minecraft, and then we saw the movie. How often has Sue had to hear the lava chicken song?
See?
Pat to the no.
Yes,
yeah.
Really. Steve's lava
Way
chicken.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of chicken jockey. I went and brought her to a fourth grade thing for like FFA. It was they got to meet all sorts of animals, and I heard it too much, and she
heard
it too much.
They throw popcorn at any point.
Yeah. No, it wasn't great.
Well, you said, we saw one of the other ones, a hen or a rooster. I said, how about that? And you're like, no, I'm not bringing him over. He's too mean.
She's very food motivated, so she thinks all you have is food, and she will peck at you. So I was she's not coming with.
Oh.
There are different personalities,
yes.
Pat.
Oh, yes, there are. I mean, I had to be careful bringing in the big bucket of cookies. Otherwise, he was just going to be pecking away until we fed this guy after the show.
Here's a ridiculous question, but Sue here, does she laying eggs?
Yeah, so she's not laying anymore, but she did used to. She's too old. She's just kind of, she might lay
really?
Like one a year, but that's about it.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or? Really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a post-menopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The arm pump over there. It's a little too enthusiastic, but we understand.
I didn't know that. That's great. Well, it's just been a pleasure. Kaylee High from Stanley Boyd High School. Thank you for spending this time with us. And congrats on graduation. And best of luck. What university in Iowa?
University of Northern Iowa, down in Cedar Falls.
It's a great university.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck and everything.
Thank you.
A pleasure. We'll come back and talk with Josh Shulman on the other side. Pat Kreitlow and Todd with, a live animal.
Brought in a live
from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair live on location.
Never doubt you again.
Come on back after this.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, along with Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow every morning across the network on 6 until 9. Glad to have you along. Pat, you never know who you're going to run into at the fair. While Heather and I were out trying to find a live animal, through the chicken.
Look who you found.
We ran into a candidate for governor. That's the great thing about coming to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. You can have good food, you can have family fun, and you can meet people that you want to just strike up a conversation with as well.
And that's what running for governor or anything legislature is all about. So Josh Showman is here, the Washington County executive and first Republican announced candidate for governor for 2026.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be up here.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Why don't we just start off with, for those that might not know you, from Southeast Wisconsin, but tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what you did, and why you're running for governor.
Yeah, so I'm the Washington County executive. I was born in Hartford, so Washington County originally. I'm the son of a Lutheran minister and a registered nurse. And my folks moved around a lot when I was a youngster. And mostly the eastern part of the state. Middle school and high school years in Kewaunee, so I'm a graduate of Manitowoc Lutheran High School. And my wife and I have been married 24 years this year.
Congrats.
And thank you very much. I'm a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was with the Madison Unit, the 147th Black Hawk Unit in Iraq in 2003. And when I came back, I dedicated the rest of my life to the service and sacrifice of the guys and gals who didn't make it back, either in whole or in part. And reflecting the love of my Lord Jesus, by loving my neighbor. So that's what put me into public service, and I've been in municipal administration for 15, almost 20 years, and county executive for the last six in Washington County.
So when you're looking at the Republican primary right now, and first of all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I had the opportunity to work for former Congressman Scott Klug and handle military affairs. I never served, but I have a great appreciation for our veterans, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
But when you look at this Republican primary, there's another person who announced a couple days ago here. I think one of the big things that people are looking at is in this environment, I mean, I'm a former Republican for 30 years, as you look at the current iteration, it seems like a lot of people are saying, well, you are going to, or someone, whoever wins this Republican primary is going to have President Trump's endorsement. Do you feel that? Do you need President Trump's endorsement to win this race?
President Trump's certainly important. It is his party. I mean, he's been around for a decade now and changed everything in dynamics and in politics in all of America. But I think this primary in particular is going to come down to one thing and one thing only. In my lifetime, Republicans have only ever elected two governors. Tommy Thompson and Scott Walker. Both were young, energetic guys in under 45. One was a county executive, son of a minister. And so we've got a template that we know works on our side. And that's what I expect to work this time. But the bottom line is we haven't had a candidate in a long time on our side that really burns a shoe leather, runs into media at county fairs, state fairs. And I think that's what we need. You know, meet people where they're at. Have conversations with one another again. Stop talking past each other. There's been way too much of that. And so that's what I like to see change in this campaign.
Whatever Governor Tony Evers decides, whether to run for a third term or whether to step back, and then there will be a very crowded Democratic primary. That's plain to see.
Sure.
You will have things to say about the Evers administration and or the Democratic field as it comes up. Since we only have limited time here, I want to do, and I heard this a lot running all the time as well. They're like, well, just tell us what you're going to do for me. So I want to give you that opportunity. If you are elected, what is it that you want to do?
Yeah, the big thing that I'm focused on is making Wisconsin a place that people are proud to be, not just be from. And what I mean by that is we've talked about brain drain in the state for, it feels like a quarter century, most of my life. Young people leaving the state for other opportunities, never coming back. And now you're starting to see retirees leaving. My mom and dad are residents of Wisconsin, but they have a place down in the Fort Myers area. And I went down and visited this spring, and like always, all the people from Wisconsin gather, and they have the brat fry and the whole nine yards. And they're all residents of Florida for 6 months and one day or more. They love the sunshine and the zero income tax. And I think both of those things we have to work change. If you look at the demography of the state in the next 25 years, it's kind of scary. So we've got to retain. And I think that's going to be my number one
focus.
Can
I go to the other end of the age spectrum, though? Retaining our best and brightest, our young people, so that they don't leave.
That's right.
Can you tell them?
So my big thing with that is I think the big hurdle for them coming back is where are they going to live, right? Housing in Washington County, the average price of a home is about $400,000. It's demonstrably worse in Dane County, for example. But that is a similar average across the state. I don't know how young people even can think about affording a house right now. So I think that's a big issue we've got to tackle. We have a track record in Washington County, and I think we can take it to Madison.
State budget passed last week. Governor Evers signed it into law. There are people on the right who are saying that Tony Evers whipped the Republicans. There are people on the left saying they got a raw deal out of it. Where do you stand? Was this a good budget? Is it something you could support, or do you think it should have been better?
Yeah, it's not a good budget. I don't think anybody's happy. You know, I heard Greta Neubauer criticizing it, saying she didn't even have a seat at the table. I think that's wildly inappropriate. The fact that legislative leadership and the governor weren't even talking to each other until, what was it, 3-4 weeks before the budget needed to be adopted with essentially a fiscal gun to your head with the federal money going away. So, you know, that's something when I'm governor, you know, I wanted to reach out to Greta and say, listen, we might not agree on much, but you're going to have a seat at the table. Like, we have to be talking to each other. I think it's one of the big things that's wrong in America is we just talk past one another. We don't even have conversations anymore. So it's good to have conversations, and I think that's something that's got to change. We need leadership.
Anything, we have about a minute left or so.
Sure.
Anything we haven't asked you, and I'd love to have you come back on. Thanks for doing this. What
yeah,
have we
course.
Not asked you that you think people of the state need to hear of why you want to be governor?
I think the big thing that people I've been hearing is the education governor. Governor Evers prides himself on being an education governor, and they are very concerned about education long term. I mean, the declining enrollments, really statewide on average, that's a problem. The way that the funding formula works and has not worked for over 30 years is a problem. And we just keep throwing money. We're not looking at outcomes. We're not looking at what's best for kids. We're just looking at how do we fund? How do we fund? How do we fund? I think we around a table, even if we disagree, and work together to solve. That's what I'm going to do when I'm governor. It's what I've done as county executive in Washington County.
Washington County executive and now Republican gubernatorial candidate Josh Shumlin, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. Look forward to future conversations with Pat and I moving forward.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Visit joshshumlin.com. More information.
Nice to have you up here in Chippewa.
Thank you.
Come on back. We're going to talk a little B.J. Hollers and filmmaking and Coob after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show with Pat Kreitlow, live on location from Chippewa Falls of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's levying tariffs of 30% against the European Union and Mexico starting August 1st. Overseas, it's not being received well. Micheál Martin is the Prime Minister of Ireland.
Tariffs of this kind are not sustainable and tenable. Europe has countermeasures, doesn't want to have to deploy, would prefer a negotiated approach.
The search continues for nearly 200 people still missing from Texas floods. In Kerrville, Marcy Heap has been helping first responders by getting them food.
A few days ago, I found a little flowered necklace wrapped up in a tree, and it got me. I broke down because I knew it belonged to one of those little girls from the camp.
CBS's Nicole Skanga on the 1 year since the assassination attempt of President Trump.
I did ask Deputy Director Quinn whether or not the Secret Service planned on any future punitive measures, if there were any potential firings in the future. He told me no.
Six Secret Service members were suspended. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
The Brewers win a thriller.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers and Nationals wrap up their series here today. The crew with a thrilling 6-5 win over Washington last night. Milwaukee down 5-3, bottom of the ninth. Andrew Vaughn at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Finnegan deals. Vaughn, line drive.
Caleb Durbin later drove in Andrew Monasterio for the winning run. Manager Pat Murphy on the effort Monasterio has shown.
The great thing about having the right people, this kid every day says, I want to stay in the big leagues.
The Brewers have now won 6 in a row. The Nationals have lost 7 of their last 10.
I'm going to say, you got to keep your head up, you know, got to go back and do it again.
That's the Nationals manager Miguel Cairo with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves, because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click-to-cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, a little hazy from smoke, and a low in the upper 50s. Filtered sunshine for tomorrow and warmer, a high in the low 80s. Slight rain chance Sunday night. Stays warm through mid next week, highs in the 80s. Currently, it's 66.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food,
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Northern Wisconsin State Fair live in Quaw Falls, Wisconsin. Todd Allball on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with my guest co-host for the day for the last 2 days here. So kind, so gracious. He usually gets up, or he always gets up way early.
Better always get up.
He's at 6 until 9 a.m. mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Mr. Kreitlow is here at the table. That song is going to be playing, Pat, at some point during the weekend for the U.S. National Coupe Championship in Eau Claire, just down the road from here. But what a show so far. We started off with a live chicken, followed by a politician. What's the rule? You never let him follow kids or animals. And Showman, God love him, he did it.
But if you're going to, it may as well be, you know, followed up then by champions.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Joining us via StreamYard just down the road, because they are busy indeed. They are from Fireside Productions. BJ Hollers, who has been on the show before, talking about the great documentary When Robert Rubber Hit the Road. Todd could talk there. It was world premiere here at the Pablo Center. We were up here for that. And his production partner at Fireside, Steve Dayton, joined us via StreamYard. BJ and Steve, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's really, really great. Number one, again, if people haven't seen When Rubber Hit the Road, it's a great documentary on the closing of the Uniroyal Tire facility here in Eau Claire. Just really quickly, have you guys had more follow-up on that? Is the DVD out still, or what's the status on that great piece?
Yeah, it's all going great. PBS Wisconsin is screening it and streaming it regularly, so you can check it out on PBS Wisconsin any second of your day. It's also on Amazon, and you can pick up the DVD at our website, firesideproductions.com.
Wow, that's great. If people haven't seen it, I would really encourage it. It's just a great film, number one, but what a story. You know, Pat, you and I talked about this before, of just the resilience of this community up here in Chippewa Falls.
Right, and I'm absolutely certain that resilience comes through in this as well. And I noticed that you got a lot of gratitude for putting this together, because it's a part of Eau Claire history that I think people feared was starting to be forgotten. And you know what it's like to have to go back and try to tell a tale when there's nobody left to tell it who actually lived it. And so you've taken advantage of this opportunity, and it's going to be a permanent part of the culture here.
Yeah. As you guys travel around that, have you heard similar comments? Just, hey, thanks for preserving this history?
Yeah, it was a mixture of both of thanks for preserving this history, and then around the Wisconsin of, you know, maybe I didn't know this story as well, but I also lived this story in some way. So we kind of kept running into those comments.
Well, you're on to new projects as these things go in the art world. Tell us about this latest project, what you guys are doing this weekend and in conjunction with the Coupe Championships.
It's a very exciting time in Eau Claire. Of course, Eau Claire is the North American capital of Coupe. If you're familiar, Coupe is a game born in kind of Sweden and these kind of places, and it's come to America in part thanks to Eric Anderson, an Eau Claire native. And so all this weekend, we will be filming the U.S. National Coupe Championship at the soccer parks here in Eau Claire to try to figure out who will be crowned king. Our documentary will be called Kings of Coupe, and basically we spent the last year following four or so teams and a few other folks along the way to kind of figure out about this culture and the people and also the competitive spirit of it all.
I think this is fantastic. We had Eric on the show yesterday talking about this. And, you know, I didn't know anything about it until, you guys know my sister and brother-in-law, they got me playing it up here in Eau Claire. And, you know, I think it's great. There may be other people that might not be into it as much. But, I mean, what makes this a great story?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about Coob is, you know, we have all played it in the backyard, and then to go to Eau Claire Coob League and go to the championship and just see how much people are invested in this. It's a lot of their entire lives. This is their friend group. This is their family. This is what they do on weekends. They travel many miles to do this. This is who they are. So it's ingrained into the people that play it.
And it's the people who heard the interview with Eric yesterday when he talked about the king as one of the pieces, mm-hmm. you know, in Coop.
Yeah.
Where those are the ones going, oh, I see what they did there.
Yeah, see, you get it. You get it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we listen.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Even the shows I'm on, I listen to you.
I have to pay him extra, you know, in beer.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on I think, again, for some people that might not be from the Chippewa Valley, they might not know what Coob is, but I think we've all had those quirky passions, if I could call Coob a sort of a quirk, whether it's people who are into chess. I mean, these people are obsessed with chess and will travel all over. Or, you know, there might be fishing. People for some people, fishing championships is like, what's that? But is the through line of a filmmaker for you guys, is it just this unique people, where this human instinct, a drive and passion, no matter what the subject is?
For me, it absolutely is. We're trying to kind of be these flies on the wall for this kind of microculture that people may know something about, but even if you don't know what Coob is, even if you've never thrown a baton at all, you know what it means to be passionate, to be all in, to be a competitor, to want to win, to want to be the best you can be at something. And what's so cool about Coob, and all these folks who play tell us this, this is their chance to be the best in the country at something. And they can be 50 years old. They can have just started 3 years ago. They say, you know, don't have to be in the best shape of our lives. But if you can do this one thing, if you can play this sport, and it's not a game, it is a sport, you should ask them, you can be the best in the world, or at least the best in the nation. And it's pretty exciting to watch these folks practice and train all year round for the opportunity to compete this weekend.
Is part of the obscure or part of the attraction its obscurity in that it's a niche sport? Not a lot of people play it, and so you almost feel like one of the cool kids who gets to be in this thing that, you know, not everybody knows about.
I mean, I think yes. And what's so cool is this community is very tight-knit, you know. It's weird because last night we went to two Coob parties, and all the competitors there are making pizza, having a great time, kind of throwing batons together. But in 24 hours from now, it's going to be a whole different ballgame, you know. And these folks who are good friends all year round are going to be staunch competitors against one another. They always say there's only one reason we're doing this, and that's to win, you know. And so it's really cool to kind of see the bravado that can come out. It's tricky to be friends but also competitors, and yet, you know, there's no referee. They're kind of like doing this on their own, and so there's a lot of gentleman sports talk about the whole thing. And it's really cool to see kind of passions on display, but also the honesty of just doing what's right for the game and for themselves.
We're talking with BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton from Fireside Productions, filmmakers who have done great productions like When Rubber Hit the Road here and other works as well. They're working on their latest documentary on the Coob Championships taking place in Eau Claire this weekend. Guys, maybe this is a premature question. Maybe you don't know the answer to this yet. I'm going to ask it anyway. So we've been very fortunate at this show to kind of become friends with filmmakers Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, who did the documentary on the Brewers, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, who have been on this show a number of times. And one of the things that Kelly and Sean have told us is it's not really a film, a documentary about sports. It's really about a love story between a community and a team, a community who was going through a recession at the time in the early 80s, and they needed something to believe in, and this team of kind of misfits needed a city to uplift them. What's the backstory, or if you know it, what's so far, what's this documentary? It's not maybe just about Coob, but what's the real story here?
I would say that the story is about community. It's about people connecting. It's not the throwing the batons, but waiting to throw and those conversations that you have. Or in Eric Anderson's case, you know, raising two daughters and him being a big part of Coob and them finding love in it too. And those connections there. So it's more about relationships than anything else.
Very much right, human interest. Yeah.
Let's get past the happy stuff here. This is like any sport. There's going to be the heels. There's going to be the who's the New York Yankees out of all
this. I like that.
Have we gotten to the point where there is a team that is just almost unbeatable to the point that people almost either dread playing them or they want the challenge to knock them off. And if that's the case, do they get really full of themselves? Are they humble champions? Let's get all the dirt on this right now.
Oh, man.
Well, you get to share it all.
This is where you get us in trouble.
I'm going to get in big trouble.
Well, I think most would say the greatest of all time, the GOAT, is a guy who teaches in Chippewa. He's an Eau Claire guy named Greg Jochimson. And this guy has his name on the Stapp Trophy again and again and again. He's won multiple national championships, won world championships as well. I mean, he's incredible, and I think other teams fear him, you know, and I think he likes that. I think he likes the mystique, and so he's been really generous with us and kind of shown us his full self. But when he's on the pitch, I mean, he's there to win, and I think everyone knows it, and he doesn't miss a lot, and it's just when you watch people at that level play this sport, I mean, when we play in the backyard, we hit a couple, we miss a couple. They don't miss. It is incredible the level they are thinking about everything they do. They call the game Viking chess, and it's because it's strategic in so many ways, you know. So watching him play and his whole team, Wrecking Crew, they have one of their team members coming from Belgium. They're quite the team and one to be feared this weekend.
Oh, that's called the Wrecking Crew?
Yeah.
See, that's great. Perfect. That's appropriate.
There it is.
Is it still what you'd call, you know, a street clothes type event, or are some people starting to, you know?
That's good, yeah.
Yeah,
uniforms.
Jazz it up, uniforms. Yeah. Is there any bling involved in this?
Oh. Pat wants the bling. He wants the merch.
Yeah. You are going to get
cape.
So much
is there
bling.
A cape at any point? Oh.
So we're also following a team called the Coop Reapers, and they may be the best dressed team out there. They have
the
multiple.
Coop Reapers,
multiple jerseys. They have cups. They have hats,
towels, stickers, postcards. You name it.
Marketing.
There.
Wow.
They have their own wrapping paper.
They're pretty good too.
I like that. A couple minutes left here, guys. I want to ask you a filmmaking question, because in this new state budget that just passed, in a bipartisan manner on this part, they just reinstituted, it was there years and years ago under former Governor Tommy Thompson, there's a new film office with some tax credits. As filmmakers, does this mean anything? Is this actually something that would help you guys make films, or is this just all political fluff?
Well, I think we're optimistic. Nathan Deming's, the guy here in town, has really helped lead the charge. Probably the level we're producing films at, it probably won't have a huge impact right away, but certainly the idea of drawing new industry, new filmmakers to Wisconsin would be enormous. My brother's a filmmaker out in Denver, and they have some tax credits, and that's why he's there, and that's how they do film movies there. Same with Atlanta, same with all the hubs. So if Wisconsin could get in on that, it has great opportunities for other larger productions, maybe beyond what we're doing right now, but you know, maybe one day we'll get there too.
And it does bring other filmmakers outside of Wisconsin here and have them take a look. Minnesota has had good luck with their film program, their film office. So I think this is a really exciting time for us.
I think it's only a rumor, but James Cameron has
been
doing a sequel to Titanic.
Unlike
Minnesota.
Unlike Minnesota.
First movie. Because of that credit.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes.
But to you guys' point, I would think whatever the vocation is, wherever you could get together with other people in your business, so to speak, there's some synergy there, and I would think that's good for both commerce in Wisconsin, but also for the art.
No question.
Yeah, there's definitely a story about there's a movie called 100 Beavers, and they're looking at making their next feature, and with incentives that might be something that can get them to stay in Wisconsin and do that right here. So little things like that are big wins.
Didn't we have someone on talking about Hundreds of Beavers before?
We did, yes. I love that movie.
I think that's absolute Hundreds of Beavers. What a name and what a great movie.
What?
I mean, so I think it's great for film. A minute left here or so. Is there anything we have not asked you about this documentary on Coop that you'd like people to know?
Well, what I would say first and foremost is, if you're unfamiliar with Coop, if you just want to check it out, this is the time. So starting tomorrow, 8 a.m., come out to the soccer park on Hamilton Road in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or tomorrow or on Sunday to watch the final cage match. You're going to have a great time.
All right, very good. I believe Jerry Mathers is going to star in the sequel to Hundreds of Beavers.
Just a rumor.
All right, very good. BJ Hollers and Steve Dayton of Fireside Productions, thank you so much, guys. We really appreciate you, and we'll be following you every step of the way. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Come on back. Pat and I are going to talk Northern Wisconsin State Fair after this. We're live on location.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. We are live on location across the Civic Media Radio Network, Town Hall Ball, along with our co-host, our friend, our colleague, Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, from every morning from 6 until 9 across most of the stations here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, it'll be CBS, ABC, or James Kelly News, depending upon which station you're listening to, followed by a check of weather. And then our Mike Clemens with sports, and we'll come back with hour number two. What?
You said the James Kelly News?
The James Kelly News. That's what here we get here at the tap on every day. It is fantastic. And speaking of, you never know who's going to stop by the table at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. None other.
In the flesh.
Than our own James Kelly.
Well, to be fair, I was scheduled to be here.
Oh. And it's so standard. I didn't know this, but this is fantastic. I think it's fantastic.
We appreciate this entirely voluntary appearance you're making here for us, and not a hostage situation in the least.
No.
How are you doing, James?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying some Brewers baseball. That song just made me think of Bull Durham and Jacob Mizierowski. Oh, boy.
Now, for those that haven't listened before, the last time the three of us were together was at Pat's home on beautiful Lake Wissota. We did the show up there. For those that don't know, James is a New Yorker from Long Island, a big Yankees fan, and I'm not being goofy. I haven't checked. How are the Yankees doing?
Oh, they're going through a bit of a rough patch right now.
But yeah. The Brewers, they're on fire.
Yeah, the Brewers, they're looking like they might end up winning the NL Central after all.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. We got half a season to go yet.
Are they 2 games back now? That's not
a game
bad.
And a half. Let's just enjoy the ride.
Well, it's great to see. Were you here last year?
I was.
All right. Because you've been here, what, over 2 years now?
Yeah, it's coming up on 2 years in August.
That's incredible. So what's your favorite part of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair as a person who grew up in New York?
Well, it's for me out here, it's who you run into. Obviously, you find a governor candidate here. And last year when I was here, I ran into then Senate candidate Eric Covey and got to ask him a couple questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just luck of the draw. You see people that you wouldn't normally see out and about out here.
That's fantastic. Eddie, what's your favorite fair food? James Kelly.
Ooh, my favorite fair food. That's a tough one. We have a Zeppelin's back home for their
Zeppelin's. Oh, I'm sorry. What Zeppelin's?
They're kind of like cannolis.
Oh, real? I love a good cannoli.
Yeah. But those are great. Those are a fair classic.
Well, when we get done here, Pat brought in some beautiful chocolate chip.
A bucket of cookies. Cannoli, but,
we have cookies for you.
Yeah.
You're really underwhelmed by that one. All right.
We work with what we got.
What else you got, Todd?
so you got to we had Showman Josh Showman here on this show. That was very kind of him to stop by. More than Governor Evers is willing to do on our show. He goes and talks to Pat, but he won't come on our show. We put it in writing. We said, Governor, we'd love to have you come on. Not a word back.
Well, maybe he'll announce a third term run on your show.
Or maybe he'll announce he's not running again on our show.
He's doing it on Dan Schaefer. Actually, it should be the other way around. If he announces he's running again, he's going to want Dan Schaefer
100%.
There. Yes. And say something like, I'm running for a third term. In your face, Schaefer.
Of course, our own Dan Schaefer, political editor, has written a column saying the governor should not run again. James, you're following news all the time. You're following, and one of the great things about civic media, we're local, community-oriented. Give us the thing that people are talking most about right now in the Chippewa Valley in terms of the local news up here?
Well, this week, it really seems like road work. I'm getting a lot of updates on projects that are coming up, especially in Dunn County. There's going to be a lot of closures, and you got the Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project ready to get underway up in Superior, so that's going to cause some lane closures as well in the next couple of weeks. So it's a lot of road work right now. Other than that, we have emerald ash borer still spreading through the northwest Wisconsin region, and the city of Spooner is looking at some preventative treatment options, so it could be something interesting to watch if it works, if it's affordable.
James comes on our show every Wednesday at 7 or 8:50 to talk about some of the stories he's following, and one of them this week is the new container park in Altoona.
Really?
With old shipping containers being turned into.
Well, that's cool.
What are they going to be turned into?
They're just kind of like vendor spaces, restaurants, kind of like stationary food trucks, sort of.
Really?
For somebody of my age who grew up reading The Boxcar Children, this is like, whoever thought we'd be turning boxcars into the urban development of the future?
Well, it's another cool thing about the Chippewa Valley. Industrious, unique things,
creative.
Yeah, that happen. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so. The other big topic around here, the Cube Championships.
Yes, we were talking about that.
Yeah, I will say last year when they had the Cube Championships, I did a little story about it for the radio. Happened to run into State Representative Jody Emerson at a press conference later that day. This isn't a game that we really have a lot of in New York. I found it in one place, Bryant Park in the city, and it was a ton of fun. But we called it Cub. That's
how
we pronounce
it. Well, in your Eastern accent, I suppose.
Yeah, so I called it Cub on the newscast.
A lot of angry letters?
Yeah, a little pause before the press conference. She's like, by the way, it's Cube. And I was like, oh, man, I'm never going to hear the end of this.
She didn't chuck a baton at you as she said that?
No.
I mean,
it was a friendly reminder. She knew I was still new around here.
Yeah. Oh, she threw it at me. I mean, again, we're friends.
Right.
Friends do.
As one does,
absolutely. Chuck wood at each other.
Well, this is fantastic. I appreciate the news about the road work because I was driving from here back to Eau Claire last night. I thought the pavement had buckled because what road were we on?
There actually was I-94, pavement buckling northwest of Osseo. Yeah.
Oh, we were on the bypass or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that road work should have wrapped up this morning-ish.
Oh, there you go. That's good news for us going
back. You get a lot of that around here. Yeah, you eat a bypass bucket of cookies and suddenly you're just kind of like buckling. The things expand. The roads are kind of the same way around.
The belt's pavement buckling.
Yeah, right? Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, always appreciate you. People can find you here at the TAP at WCFW. You keep people up to date. We appreciate that. Thank you once again for all the hard work, and thanks for stopping by. We always appreciate it.
Absolutely, and I'll be here all evening.
Really? So people could come and meet you. Do you ever get, like, when people meet me and they say, you look different in person.
No, I usually get the, oh, now it's I can put a face to the name. Oh, that's interesting.
Really? Oh, you see? The tall, handsome dude right. like that, that's what he hears. What do we hear?
Oh.
But you were on television, Pat. People knew what you looked like.
Yeah, but they also thought you're on TV. You must be, you know, 6'5".
Oh, right.
And, you know, make a Tom Brokaw-level salary.
Everyone looks right. taller on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, James Kelly, our fantastic news person here in northwestern Wisconsin. Thank you, James.
Thanks.
Stay tuned. Next hour, we're going to do some What's Worse. Also, talking to Ken Szymanski and food with Pat Kreitlow and Todd. Don't go anywhere. It's the Northern Wisconsin State Fair from Chippewa Falls live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. It has been 1 year since the assassination attempt of then-candidate Donald Trump. It happened in Butler, Pennsylvania during a rally. Our Michael Wallace with a look back.
20-year-old Thomas Crooks was armed with a rifle when he climbed atop a building with a clear view of Trump's podium. Trump was shot in the ear. One audience member was killed and two were injured. A sniper killed Crooks. Former classmate said Crooks was a loner.
He was like a kid that was always alone. He was always bullied.
Investigators found bombs in his car and home. He left no manifesto. Last week, six Secret Service agents tasked with securing the Butler rally were suspended. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
President Trump says the EU and Mexico will have to pay up next, levying 30% tariffs on each. They're set to go into effect next month. The BBC's Will Grant is in Mexico.
This time, President Trump...